This morning's passage is so powerful. We need to take a look at how to turn our frowns upside down. Anybody ever find themselves having a day where they, the last thing they think of and they want to do is to smile or to put on even a brave face? I want to tell you something. We've got one that there's a look. Will you show that to everybody else? Oh, it's on both sides. Anita, is that how you do it? Is that how you do it when you're frowning? You just hold that up and hope that that's enough? Yeah, that's cute. Anita already knows how to do this. She just manufactures a happiness and a smile. We have one this morning that is going through chemotherapy. And if there's anybody that should frown or would have the license to frown, it would be Joni. But I was in the hallway this morning when Joni was walking through the door. And Joni's presence was made known long before she got to the door. And Joni, just give them a little bit of you and just that. What's going on? Every 2 weeks, she's having chemotherapy, and she walked through the doors, praising the Lord, happy and smiling, in spite of that. Now, I think we could learn something, church. I think we need to know how to do this. I think we need to know how to have joy in the midst of anything. Good times or bad times. You sang this morning the Phil Wickham song, "There's Joy in the House of the Lord." If there's joy in the house of the Lord, why is there joy in the house of the Lord? We need to kind of tap into the secret sauce. And how is it that we can have joy? How can we have a smile when the world would frown? I think we need to know how to do that. Would you agree? Because sometimes it's just the least little thing that will get us down and cause us to frown. The least little things can do that. But we're talking about something that's bigger than circumstance and situation. We're talking about something that is prevalent. It just persists all through our days, all through every hour of each day. That's what we need to learn how to do. Now, before we dive into this, I don't want to make light over a situation where you are facing the worst things in your life. Because by the time we get to the scripture and what I have to present to you, you might say, "Now, Pastor, I'm dealing with the death of a loved one, and it's going to feel lighthearted when we get to that point." And I don't want to diminish that, because there are times in our lives that, well, life just is terrible, that it beats us down. But that's the reality of our existence, isn't it? We're all going to face those horrible moments where we're facing the loss of a loved one. We're facing uncertainty. We're facing something that we didn't know we'd ever have to face, something that came from out of the blue or completely out of left field, and it just brings us to our knees. And in those times, I want you to hear this, though. Jesus spoke into this on the night of his betrayal, and it's one of my favorite promises in Scripture. And when I say this, one of my favorite promises, people are like, "Why? How is this one of your favorite promises? Because this kind of feels bad." Jesus being transparent. This is what he says: in this world, you will have trouble. That's the reality. That's what he tells us. In this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say, "In this world, if you align yourself with me, I will make you immune to all tragedy and all heartache. You'll never have to deal with situations that are going to bring you despair." He didn't say that. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." And oh, by the way, if we want to know why, then just hold a mirror up to ourselves, to yourself, because we blew it in the Garden of Eden when we raised the defiant clenched fist to heaven and we said, "I will be my own God." That's what Adam and Eve did. If it were me and you there, we'd have done the same thing. We blew it. Therefore, in this world, we will have trouble. We ushered into our existence brokenness, darkness, sin, and death. We don't have to look past ourselves to figure that out, how and why that happened. But the reality is, it did. And now you know that you are all subject to the worst things that this life could ever give you. Jesus is transparent. This is why I love this, my favorite promises, when he says, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise. But I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Are you thankful today that in the worst of times that Jesus has been there and done that? He's experienced all the things that could bring us despair. So this morning, as we dive into the scripture, I do not want you to think that I'm making light of those times, but I do want to remind you that Jesus has already told us that you are going to go through those tough times in life. And it's not just turning a frown upside down. That's not going to do it in those moments. But here's what will. The Lord Jesus Christ, take heart, because he loves you enough to be there with you. And he's overcome all of this. He's overcome our slavery to sin. He's overcome death itself. So we have much to rejoice about, even in the midst of everything that's broken. With that said, I would like for us to learn how to turn our frowns upside down. One of the things that I like to do is sometimes I like to show you how to fill out the sermon notes part on the back of your bulletin, and I've done that for you today. So Teresa is going to show you on the screen. She's going to show you an outline, but there's a lot to it. So you're going to kind of have to write small, giving you room to write elsewhere. But this is what we're going to uncover today. So somewhere at the top, you're going to write how to turn your frown upside down. We're going to learn four things together today, and they're going to go in this order. When, what, why, and how. And at the end of that, I hope that you understand how we are to tap into the secret of turning our frowns upside down. Now, under each of those, you can have sub-bullets. Under the when is always and every. We're gonna look at each one of these in detail. Under the what is four things that we're going to look at. Rejoice, you, trust and praise, and then the why, which is peace for your heart and peace for your mind, also known as the way we think. And then there's the how, and it's called what I refer to as the zebra principle. Do you see the front of your bulletin? Do you ever wonder why there was a white horsey-shaped animal with black stripes on it? That's called a zebra. When we showed this in youth today, and I'm not going to say who said this, but when Colby showed this, Colby didn't say this. All right, Colby's off the hook. One of the other teens, and besides Colby, they were all bros, by the way. So one of the bros looked at this, said, lion. All right, and I'm not going to say who it was, but we're going to get to the zebra principle in a little bit. Are you excited about that? Not a lion, by the way. If you have your scripture, you can turn with me to the words of the Apostle Paul found in the book of Philippians. One of the things that I always want to make sure that you understand is that when you read Paul's writings, that don't just skip the beginning and the end. Like when he addresses the church that he's writing to, and when he farewells at the end, there's such spiritual truth there, and that's what we're going to dive into. He's signing off his letter to the church at Philippi, and what he's doing there is so beautiful for us. It's foundational for our belief today. So when I read the writings of Paul, it's easy for us to just get right to the meat, the spiritual truth on the inside of the writings, but there's such powerful words that are at the beginning and the end. Don't miss those, because those matter. And today we're going to look at this. He's signing off, so to speak. So he's given them one last nugget, and I just love this passage. You are probably very familiar with this passage of Scripture. But inside of this, I believe, is the secret sauce, the keys to the kingdom of turning your frown upside down. And we can discover this today. If you've brought your Bible, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 4. And we're going to read 6 verses together. If you would like to stand, raise your arms, close your eyes. These are not the words of Pastor Steve or even the Apostle Paul. These words are straight from heaven through Paul. This is what he says to the church at Philippi. And this might as well be written to the church of Mount Zion Wesleyan Church. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice! Exclamation point. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Praise be to the Father for the reading of His Word. Teresa, if you'll show that outline again, and just keep it up there so we can kind of go through this together. I want to kind of start in a weird order, because maybe we would start with the why, but I want to start with the when. Because if we're really going to learn how to have the skill set to turn our frowns upside down, I want to start with the Apostle Paul. He started right away, and he gave us 2 words to use, always and every. Do you remember what he said? He said, rejoice always. And then he follows it up, and he said, in every situation. He didn't qualify that by saying that we are to, in every situation that is good, or every situation where things seem to be going okay. He said, in every situation. But what if things are going haywire? The Apostle Paul says, every situation. So the when, that we are to do what it is that the Apostle Paul is going to ask us to do, challenge us to do, is to be done all the time, 24/7, always and in every situation. Every situation. I bet you that tomorrow morning that you'll be faced with a situation that is going to make it difficult for you to turn your frown upside down. I bet you will. But the Apostle Paul would challenge you, challenge us, that if we're really in Christ Jesus, that no matter what is happening in our life, that we have a bigger perspective, something that's beyond ourselves, something that's beyond our circumstance and in situation. In every situation, you put this into practice. Now, I'll be the first to admit this. It's a lot easier, isn't it? It's a lot easier to smile when things are going good. And maybe we've got a day in front of us that is going to be easy. Maybe we're on vacation. We're on the big aluminum tube and we're flying to Florida. Woo! It's easy to smile then. It's a whole lot easier to smile when we're knee-deep in the chaos and the mess, that the worst that life can give us. That's just honest, isn't it? I mean, that's true. It's easier to smile sometimes than others. But the Apostle Paul would say, always and in every situation. That's pretty challenging. Every situation. You ever been to a high school basketball game? Yikes. You tell me about that. You tell me about every situation that because the ball just goes up and down the court, and I'm happy, now I'm sad, I'm happy, and now I'm mad. And then every situation, the Lord God would say, is a situation to rejoice and to bring me glory. That's the win. And that's challenging, and that's daunting. Listen, you need to understand that, because what I'm going to say of what to do makes sense. It's going to make sense to you. I mean, these are the things to do, but you needed to hear the win first, because you need to hear it under the through the lens that, wait a minute, I understand the what, but are you telling me that's what I have to do all the time? Yes, all the time, in every situation, whether you're in a hospital bed at Ball Hospital or not. This is what happens to bring glory to God. We can't live as Christians, believers of the Lord God, and live with grumpiness. Can't do it. It's like oil and water. Those things are not going to mix. Now, you want to know what we're to do? The Apostle Paul gives us four things of what we are going to do. The first thing he said was to rejoice. And I put an exclamation point there because Paul put an exclamation point there, and he said it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. We should rejoice no matter what is happening. It doesn't matter if things are going good or bad. In every situation, always rejoice. Easier said than done, is it? Let's be honest. I think it is. But as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we had a bigger picture of our existence, and get out of our own way and just kind of set ourselves aside and see that, wow, there's a universe. There's 8 billion people. God has a plan. God created me to bring him glory. That's worthy of rejoicing, because life doesn't rise and fall on you. Because life isn't even about you. It's about him. So rejoice no matter what is happening. He hasn't promised that it's going to be easy. Did you hear what I said earlier? In this world you will have trouble. Okay? Take heart. Rejoice. It's a mess sometimes, but rejoice. The second thing is you. And I put a question mark there. Tell me what Paul says in this passage that you are to do always. What does this say? Anybody? This is where you step into the scripture. You are to make what evident all the time? Your gentleness. I read the scripture. You followed along. This is what he is asking you to do. Put forth the embodiment of Christ, his goodness, his kindness, his gentleness, his patience. Put all of that on and make that evident all the time. And the reason why I've put a question mark there is you have a choice. But Pastor, I am having such a bad day. Daggone it. I mean, my life's a mess. And did you know that my team lost last night? Huh! How could I possibly do anything but frown all day to everybody that I see? The choice is yours. Even in the midst of something that's broken and wrong, the Apostle Paul says, always rejoice and let your gentleness be evident to all. You see, there's a strategy there. We're to be like Christ for a greater purpose than just ourselves. We're to be like Christ because the world needs to see Christ in us, no matter what our situation is. I would say it this way, Celia. I would say it, if the world knows you're going through something terrible and they still see Christ in you, that's a greater testimony than seeing Christ in you when everything is right. In every circumstance, always let Christ shine through you, because the Lord is near. And he's near because he shines through you. Have you ever seen or experienced, or you are a grumpy Christian? Anybody ever seen a grumpy Christian? Huh. Not pretty. There are some that, mercy, they never have a testimony of praise on their lips. It's just condemnation. And if they're going to remind you of everything that's broken or wrong, or that you're doing wrong, grumpy Christians, and they're never going to turn their frown upside down. There's no place for the body of Christ to ever be grumpy. Ever. Church, we win. Amen. Read the last chapter of God's Word. We win. God sent His Son to die for us. We were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. We win. If we put our lives in Jesus Christ, we win. And there's no reason to ever be grumpy, church. But the choice, you get to choose whether or not your joy, your praise, your gentleness is evident to anyone, let alone everyone. And all the time, in every situation. The next thing is that we are to do is to trust. The Apostle Paul says, every situation that could cause us to frown, here's what we do with that. We give it to Him. We go to the Lord in prayer. We petition because we can. You've been invited into the Holy of Holies. We spent time praying together as a church this morning. What a privilege that is. But the Apostle Paul says, look, if there's something that's beating you down in your life, something that's wrong or broken, and you need God to come along beside of you, then meet Him where He is. Go to Him in prayer. And don't make it about just you. Bring your thanksgiving in. That's the next part. The Apostle Paul says, with thanksgiving you go before the Lord. Be thankful. Praise Him. Praise Him when you spend time with Him. Don't praise Him because things are going well only. Praise Him even when things aren't going well. I can tell you, Casey, if you do these four things, if you were to actually do these four things, church, now, if you were to do these four things and do them always and in every situation, that unlocks the secret of turning your frown upside down. It causes joy in your life because the Apostle Paul says there's a cause and effect. What happens if you do these four things and you do them all the time in every situation? Here's what is promised in that scripture. That the peace that transcends all understanding will guard our heart and our mind. And I don't know how this happens, but it's supernatural. You can probably testify to the times that you were in deep despair, and for some reason, when you reached out to the Lord God, you felt peace in your heart. You felt a peace there. I don't know how you can be grumpy when the Lord God shows up and gives you peace in your heart. I don't know how that could possibly be the case. But supernaturally from heaven, the Lord God, this is what will happen. That peace will overcome you. That's what I want for you. But it's not just a feeling. Oh, that feels good, though, to have that peace in the midst of everything that's broken. The scripture also says that there's peace for your mind. In other words, thinking. And that's what I put in parentheses. Because if you want peace of mind, it really starts with a transformation of how you think. And you've seen the way you think changes everything. Because that unlocks a new perspective and a new paradigm of thinking. Because the way you think changes everything about every situation. Because you can't just rejoice in every situation because the pastor says to. The only way you can do that is if you think through, there's something bigger than me and my life and my problems. There's something broader going on. And you realize that. And you have the transformation of your mind where you start thinking like Jesus and seeing the world like Jesus. You realize that every situation is a situation to bring Him praise and to bring Him glory. And that is how you can turn any frown upside down. You do it all the time. You do those four things, and God's peace just flows from heaven. It's a promise right here in this passage of Scripture. It is a promise that the peace from the Lord God Himself that transcends your ability to understand that will overwhelm your heart and your mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if God's peace overcame every facet of my being, I don't think I could be grumpy anymore. Right. Now, I've saved kind of the best for last. The how. It's what I'm calling the zebra principle. And this is simple. And this is where you might say, now, Steve, you're oversimplifying this. I don't think so. If I were to say to you, the key to this whole thing is to rewire your thinking, this will make sense. You really want to turn your frown upside down. You need a bigger perspective, which means you need a new way to think. The Apostle Paul tells you in this passage how to do that. If I were to say, think about a horse-like animal that is white with black stripes, you would probably think of a zebra. And you're probably going to continue to think about a zebra until I describe a different kind of animal. Because it's hard to get an image out of our mind when that's what we're thinking about. Now, I want to say this, ladies. Guys can do this better than ladies. Because you apparently have the ability to think of a whole bunch of things at once. We don't. We think of one thing at a time. Now, you might be able to think of several animals at once, but if the pastor says, white, horsey-like creature with black stripes, I can only think of a zebra, and a zebra only, because men only have the ability to think of one thing at a time. And here's what is so glorious about this, ladies, that you don't understand. That one thing can actually be nothing. It is glorious. It is glorious. The missus will say, what are you thinking about? Nothing. What? Yes. I'm in my blissful ignorance right here, and it's amazing. But the zebra principle goes like this. It's simple. It is so simple. And you're going to say, Pastor, you're oversimplifying this, but I'm not. You can't not think of a zebra until you're reminded of another animal. Right? So if I were to say a big cat with orange and black stripes, you might think of a tiger. Or what'd you say, Guff? Garfield. Okay. I like that. Jeffrey says Garfield. Okay. All right. Now we're all thinking of Garfield. We forgot about the zebra. Now we're thinking of Garfield. Here's the secret. Here's how to do it. If the whole key rests on your ability to have a bigger perspective and a new way to process and think, it really is as simple as this. The Apostle Paul said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is good, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is from heaven, you think about that. So the moment something bad enters your existence. Oh, you can dwell, you can stew, you can wring your hands. Any hand wringers or stewers out there? The people that know me best, baby, you know this. I'm a stewer. Oh, I'm going to worry. I'm worried. The Apostle Paul would say, okay, that's what you're thinking about? Try this on for size. Think about something else. Simple as that. Think about the Lord Jesus. Think about His goodness. Think about how you were once broken and lost, and now you're renewed and restored and found. Amen. And this applies not just to Him, but it applies also to people. Find the good in people. Find the good in our world. Find the good in humanity. Find the good in every situation. Find something good to think about. Don't dwell. Don't stew. Don't be anxious. It will overwhelm you. It will rob you of your joy. And that is the moment that crack happens. The enemy will step in and he will separate you from God's goodness. Hold on to the things that are good. The easiest way to turn your frown upside down is to think about the things that are good. And it is awfully hard to not smile when we're really thinking about who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, We win. We get to go to heaven. We're privileged to be here today to sing praises to the one that loves us more than we could imagine. He's released me from the slavery of my sinfulness. That's reason to smile, and it's reason to rejoice, church. Now, it's easy also to get bogged down and to start dwelling and to start see what's in front of us and the realities of what is awaiting us tomorrow morning, because Monday mornings are just hard. And those realities are waiting for us. You have to deal with the reality of life. I'm not asking, the Apostle Paul isn't asking you to just walk around ignorant of everything that you have to deal with, but along the way, allow your thoughts to be dominated by things from heaven. Think about that, because that will replace the things that you're thinking of that are negative. It's just the way it works. Now, ladies, I'm sorry. It really is easier for men to do this than it is for ladies, but I've called this the zebra principle ever since I've read these passages before, because if I say big white horsey-like creature with black stripes, everybody thinks of a zebra. And you're going to keep thinking like that until you think of something else. But that's the trick. Satan will want you to look at your problems tomorrow morning. He's going to want to put them right in your face, and you will think about them, and you will fixate on them until you think about something else. And it really is as simple as that. You want to know how to do this? Think about something from heaven. And I promise you, that is the key to turning your frown upside down. No matter what you face tomorrow morning, Suzanne, because I know it's awful sometimes, the things that we have to face in our world. But we do it with the Lord's goodness in our heart. We do those four things. We show up like Christ in a dark world. We can't help but smile. Even if we're going through chemotherapy, we come into God's house shouting His praise and making sure that everybody knows that we are children of the Lord God Almighty. That is the way to live, in such a way that the world would say, I need and I want some of that. That's the secret. Brother Jim is going to lead us in our worship this morning. Brother Jim, if you would just do one song for us this morning as we close. I want you to not concentrate on a zebra, but I do want you to remember the zebra when things tomorrow go haywire. And then just flip a switch. It literally is as simple as that. You show up with the mindset of Christ, and it's easy to replace what's negative with something that's good and pure and noble and trustworthy. Something from heaven is worthy to be praised tomorrow morning. Brother Jim? Did Brother Jim and the worship team make it simple for you? That's all you got to do. Trade your sorrows for something good. Lay them down. Trade it in. It's not working for you, is it? Take all of those bad things in your life and just shove them aside and just grab a hold of God's goodness. All you got to do is switch one for the other and just see if Monday morning, even Monday morning, isn't better. It'll work. I promise you. That's the power of a renewed mind, thinking like the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, you are sent.